All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We don't change the Bible. Sure, it's a blessing to see all of you that are here this evening. Welcome back, guys, to our discipleship class. Before we get started back into the one book, Rightly Divided, I just want to share with you guys some praise reports. First of all, on the screen, you guys can see on the projector, I want to introduce to you a good friend of mine. His name is Brother Corey Mears. Brother Corey Mears is pastor of Apple Valley Baptist Church in Washington, up north, and he is currently on a mission trip in Zambia, out there in Africa. Guys, look at that. 15,000 Bibles. He is out there right now with a team handing out the Word of God to folks that they're attempting to win to the Lord, right? They're on a mission trip. Here's a couple of the pictures of their ministry, if you will. They got a couple of good locals that they're training up in the Lord, getting saved, and then discipling them so they too can become teachers, right, to assist them in the work of ministry. And there's a couple of us there. I just want to share with you guys quickly on the screen here. That's the 15,000 tracks there, or I'm sorry, Bibles. A couple of photos of the locals, right, as you guys can see what's going on in their life, if you will, the standard of living, things going on there, amen. And so you guys can see they're just all hanging out, having a Bible study on the rocks, on the floor, with a little mat. How many of you guys would like to have a Bible study on the floor, on the rocks, with a mat? You see, here's what's beautiful to see Christianity in action in other parts of the world that you and I are not used to, because you are an American in America with heater, housing structure, wood, drywall, pews, comfort, foam. Guys, look at them. They're hungry for the Word of God. So I hope that this encourages you to see that all these brethren out there in Africa are hungry to come as they are just to hear the Bible. They don't care if it's hot outside. They don't care if it's cold outside. They got bugs all over the place over there. But guys, it doesn't distract them. And some of y'all, come on, guys, in love. Some of y'all get distracted too easily. You can't put the phone down at church. You can't come to church on time. Here we are, guys. There are brethren all around the earth that are excited. So I just want to share that with you guys. Look, all that's going on over there with Brother Corey Mears. A couple of more photos, guys, and I just want to share with you guys in love. Here's the team. So Brother Corey is right there in the middle. This is Brother Antonio. I hope you guys get to meet him one day. He's a good friend of mine. He's a young brother from Corona. We're going to go have dinner with his father next Saturday, my wife and I. Brother Joel, I met him too from another church up there. I forgot where. And by faith, I would like to go on a trip next year to Zambia. No, I'm just kidding. One of these days, we'd like to go to India to visit Brother Lordson. But guys, as you guys can see, look, these are youngsters. Some of them are your age. And they have zeal and excitement to serve Jesus, not just abroad, but locally in their church. So I just want to encourage you guys that if they can do it, so can you. Amen, so can you. The next praise report I want to share with you guys, if you guys can look up to the screen here. You guys already know Brother Lordson Rock. He's a good friend of ours all the way from Goa, India. I want to just share with you guys some of the things that he's doing out there as well for the Lord. So here we have once again in faith and love what he's doing. Here's what he says. I want to read you his post. He said, "How can a Christian sit at home when he sees millions of souls sliding to hell? How can a Christian sleep in peace when his neighbor is ignorant of the gospel? How can a Christian walk without compassion when souls are perishing in darkness? It is the holy duty of a child of God to switch the light and make known the gospel and shed the light and pull people out of ignorance and give them an understanding of the gospel through the means of gospel tracts, street preaching, advertisement, door knocking, etc. We must saturate our Jerusalem with gospel literatures. Failing to do so will cost our generation and the next their souls." That's Brother Lordson all the way in India. Look up here, guys, at the screen. There's Brother Lordson. There's his lovely wife, Sister Grace. And do you guys see these little guys right here? Those are his boys. Gibby, can you guess how old they are? Looks about 3 or 4. Okay. How about these little guys up there? How about these two boys? How old are they? About 8, maybe 6, 7. Okay. And then look at the other little boys there and girls. 12, 13. They're your age. They're Sister Eileen's age. They're Brother Giovanni's age. And they're soul winning every week, faithfully. Door knocking, going down to the public street ministry there in India. And guys, they have to be afraid because the government out there, they're not favorable to Christianity. They actually will get persecuted. Unlike you guys here in America, that you don't have to worry about being a Christian knocking on a door. The worst that someone will do to you, Brother Gibby and I face, is how they just close the door. That's it. They're not going to throw a rock at you. Amen. They're not going to threaten you. But guys, as you guys can see, if those little kids can do it, and the daddies and uncles and tias and everybody there, guys, you can do it. Look. Look up to the screen, guys. Brother Lawrence right there in action. Look at his wife. And look at his little kids. They're serving. Guys, these are little kids that are younger than us, and they're soul winning weekly with their daddy and mommy. Look, guys, there's one of their young brothers are training. There's a brother Giovanni, Indian right there. Look at that guy. Skinny guy, too. Look at that. One of the sisters, see? The ladies are doing it, too. Remember what I was talking about, that you women can be great ministers? There's a brother Manny right there, Indian style right there. How about that? Look at that little girl, too, handing out tracts. Even the older ladies, guys. Sister Dean up there. How about that? Look at that. Indian version, brother Manny right there, ministering right there. Look at the older sister. You guys see that? I hope you're seeing there. Look at that young girl. There's a sister Eileen. There's a Maribel. There's a sister Keena right there. Look at that. Little Indian mamas holding it down, passing out tracts. Passing out tracts right now. That's a dude. Amen. But they're still loving on people. How about that? Okay. Some muscular veins right there, brother. Watch out. Really. But look, guys. Look, guys. Look at that's an older mom right there. That's like an Anna. There's the Theo right there. Amen. That guy looks Mexicano right there. Look at that guy. Look at that, guys. There's a sister handing out a track. And there you have it, Gibby. Look at that little boy. If he can do it, Gibby, you can do it. If he can do it, Sister Eileen, you can do it. Katie, you can do it. I can do it. Look at them, all of them. Door hanging. I'm sorry. Public ministering outreach, handing out tracts. Boom. There's a team. So why am I encouraging you with this on a Friday night? Because tomorrow is Saturday. You say, Brother Carlos, but it's raining. Oh, you know, they do have umbrellas. And you know what's funny? You still go to the store when it's raining. You go next door to hang out with your people. You guys travel outside even when it's raining. And when you and I were young, you know what we used to do? We used to play outside in the rain. We used to play with our friends, marbles, canicas, getting dirty with the mud all over the place. Why? Because we were excited. We were working in the rain. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to challenge you. I want to show you these pictures to let you know that if they can do it, you can do it. Tomorrow, guys, I understand it's going to probably be raining for all day long. I am just going to ask you to join us just to go out door knocking for just an hour and a half. We're going to call it a day. My wife and I have some other private plans to go visit our family in Tijuana. If you could join us, please join us. 10 o'clock, we're going to go from 10 to 11:30. We're just going to go door knocking. Here's what I'm going to promise you right now. If you go with me tomorrow, and if you do not have an umbrella, I will buy you an umbrella. I will do whatever it takes in order to get you the things that you need to do to come and work with us. Amen. You need some shoes? I'll get you some shoes. Need some booties? I'll get you some booties. You want a poncho? I'll get you a poncho. Whatever I can do to stir you up to work for Jesus, church. So I just want to encourage you guys, missions. Missions. Stay mission-minded. Stay caring for people-minded. Don't let your feelings or your flesh hold you back from wanting to make a difference. If you could do it when you were younger and zealous for just having fun, playing with your friends, guys, how much more for the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen? So tomorrow, please, if you can, I should be a blessing. Sure to appreciate that faithfulness. Amen? So with that said, guys, other quick announcements here. Next Saturday, 18th, we're going to go soul winning, our normal, but just like tomorrow, we're just going to go for the first half, just the first door-to-door. We'll call it a day. Next Saturday, same thing. My wife and I have a fellowship with Pastor Shannon Scott in Corona. On the 25th, don't forget Brother Andrew Marquez, downtown, or Imperial Beach. We're going to go door-to-door. It'll be a blessing some of our members to represent as well, to be a blessing to their congregation. They're a small little church just like ours, amen, and little Christians all over the world, just like us, they're doing something, amen. And then last one, I just want to thank God for my friend, Brother Manny. He joined me yesterday in going to Corona. When I ministered to the college and the high schoolers at Laverne at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, where Brother Brian Dunlop pastors, Guys, it was a blessing. Had a great time to minister to people. I broke down. I cried. So thank you, Eileen, for praying for me. Amen. That Wednesday night. And Brother Manny was there. He saw it. And he shared with my wife last night the praise report from his perspective. And I sure appreciate him just showing love to me as a friend. And got to minister to everybody, all the youngsters, all the adults. And there was some college age, you know, young men, young women, just like you, high schoolers, middle schoolers, just like you, Gibby. And they were encouraged by the message. And so I just want to thank you for praying for me. And I just want to let you know that God has a plan for your life. And that's like I preached to you guys last Wednesday, that if you're just faithful in the few, the small opportunities that you have, Jesus is watching. He will bless you. He'll take care of you. Amen. So don't forget that. And I just want to encourage you with that. It went well. Well reception and then good fellowship after with me, Manny, and the director and another brother named Brother Adam. He pastors a church called Clarity Baptist Church somewhere up there. Somewhere. But guys, we're not alone. Got a lot of good friends. So please be faithful. And if you ever want to join me once again with my wife and I again on those cool church trips, you guys know. You know who you are. We'd love to see you come back and hang out with us and have fun meeting Christians and serving. Amen. All right, guys. So let's go ahead and have some Bible study here, some discipleship class this evening. For those of you that are watching online, I put a hyperlink to the website where you can purchase this book. It's titled One Book Rightly Divided, learnthebible.org. A good friend of mine, Brother Andrew Ray out there, and he wrote this book. It's a great discipleship book for more of a, if you will, a study on methodology, learning how to study your Bible, learning how to teach it, rightly divide it. And that's what it's been a great, great past 2 years since we got this book and started teaching it little by little. And we're halfway there. We are on page 601. So if you guys can do me a favor, turn in with me now in your One Book Rightly Divided to page 601. We are on chapter 41. Tonight, we're going to start a new chapter titled The Church's One Foundation. And if you don't have your One Book Rightly Divided, that's okay. How many of you guys have the best book? Amen. Anybody here? Who brought their Bible to church tonight? Anybody out there? Amen. Glory to God. I brought my Bible. Amen. I'm breaking this bad boy in. Amen. All right, my friends. So with that said, let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Just 40 minutes, right? Just a little Friday night Bible study, guys. We'll get you guys out of here. I know, again, I don't want you guys to be driving too late. Amen. And then God willing, we'll see you guys here tomorrow. And that should be a blessing. If you can help my wife and I, guys, just for 1 hour and a half, door to door, even if it's raining, we'll get you some umbrellas. We'll have a good, fun fellowship. I told Brother Joe that I actually, for the first time, went jogging in the rain. It felt really good to just run in the rain. You know why? Because I want to prepare myself to minister in the rain. How about that? And if when I went to Winko, how many of you guys know where Winko is at? Anybody out there? Guys, there's people going to the store while it rains. So rain doesn't hold people back. It's your will. It's your will that holds you back. Amen. All right, that's enough. Let's keep going now. Exodus chapter 9, turn your Bible there. We're going to start there this evening. Exodus 9, if you don't have the One Book Rightly Divided, that's the first verse, Exodus 9. Then we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 5, and then we're going to go to Psalm 102. But if you have the One Book Rightly Divided, we're on page 601, chapter 41, the church's one foundation. Let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll go ahead and get started. Father in heaven, we thank you for allowing us to gather once again in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for the faithful work that Brother Corey Mears and his team is doing in Zambia, handing out Bibles, God, to people. Lord, that's a church and a ministry and a minister that I want to support in missions because he's a pastor that not only preaches beyond the pulpit, not only evangelizes in his local city of Washington, but he actually goes all the way to Africa preaching and practicing what he preaches by being a missionary. God, what a good man Brother Corey is. We want to pray for him and his team right now, Father, that your hand will be upon him. Please strengthen him in your Holy Spirit. Help him to be a light and protect them, God, from any health infirmities that will hinder their gospel outreach. Protect them, God, from any evildoers out there, people that oppose the light, God. Please give him boldness. We also want to pray for Brother Lordson Rock, God, in Goa, India. We pray for him and his wife. We pray for him and his children and him and all the brethren and sisters, God, that are being a blessing, supporting their pastor in soul winning, God. We saw the pictures tonight, God. We saw little kids. We saw adolescents. We saw teenagers. We saw young adults. And we saw older men and women supporting their pastor, reaching Indians for the Lord Jesus Christ. God, please bless Brother Lordson and help him to continue to prosper in making you known and being a missionary there to a city. And then, Lord, may those examples stir our flock here this evening that they too can be a blessing to their pastor and help win souls for the glory of Jesus Christ, Father. We love Jesus. We want to make him known. So, God, strengthen us to have zeal, just like all of our Christian family all around the earth, God, that are doing their little part where they're at in the field. So, Lord, we thank you. Minister to us this evening. Help us to gain some knowledge so we can use that knowledge to help build up other believers. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, friend, the church is one foundation. It seems quite simple on the surface without going into a deeper Bible study. However, there is more than one verse on the subject, and the layers of complexity increase with the introduction of other Bible verses. Certain truths prove helpful and will remain unchanged despite the added complexities. Number one, the foundation is laid. And number two, the foundation, or at least the chief cornerstone, is Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and get now a Bible definition concerning this topic that we're going to talk about this evening. So first of all, when we're discussing the foundation of the church, I know I said to go to Exodus, but let's go to the book of Ephesians real fast. Ephesians, that's going to be towards the right-hand side of your Bible. And I'm glad to see those pages turning because it's time for us to start learning how to read our Bible. Amen. And so there's nothing better for you and I to do this evening. Sometimes I treat you all good. Sometimes I pull up the projector there, but other times it's time for y'all to work out. Amen. It's time for you guys to turn them gaming thumbs, amen, into scripture thumbs. How about that? So look with me now in the book of Ephesians, and we are going to come together here to, let's see here in chapter, before we get there, I like to challenge my mind before I like to search it, amen. We're looking for the foundation verse concerning the church, and let's see if we can find that there. Let's see here, Ephesians chapter number, let's see here, Ephesians 3 or 4. Let's see here. And that is laid. Is it here, friend? Let's see where we're at here. Oh, okay. Well, maybe I got it wrong. Maybe I'm just misquoting. So New Testament. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, and then here we go. Let's go back here. I found it. Look with me now in Ephesians 2. And then look here in verse number 19. Ephesians 2, verse number 19. The Bible says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." So without getting into all the context, because obviously that'll take all the rest of our night, in a nutshell, Gentile and Jew become one in Christ, and in Christ they are a part of this entirely new people group, this new nation. Never existed before. It wasn't pre-existent before the foundation of the world, pre-existent before creation. It was prepared in time and created in time, and that is this body of believers called the church. But when Gentiles are now the people of the God of Israel, we are grafted in. You can read that in Romans chapter 11. We are now fellow citizens with the people of God, the Israelites, concerning relationship with the one true God, because we have been with their Messiah. And now from the foundation of Jesus Christ, it is the gospel that he laid down. You guys can read about that at the end of Luke chapter 24. Everything that he would give later on to the New Testament apostles, Peter, James, John, starting with Acts chapter number 2 and onward, eventually Saul would get put into the ministry as well. We are built upon none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that when you and I believe that he died for our sins, he was buried and rose again, we become born again. And the Holy Ghost, he baptizes us into his body, and we become members of his body called the church. Since we're in Ephesians, just go to chapter 5. Look with me now in Ephesians chapter 5, and go down later here to verse number... let's go down here to verse number... Verse number 30. The Bible says, concerning us who are born-again Christians, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So now, let's go back to Exodus. What the authors are going to help us to start understanding from the Bible is giving us a definition of the word foundation. the first thing that we're going to see here, friends, are that nations, that is various groups of people with their society built upon their local laws and policies and whatever else that they established to keep some type of order that represented their values and belief systems, nations, people groups back there in the Old Testament. We're going to see here, friend, that nations had foundations. Exodus chapter 9, the Bible says in verse number 18, "Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now." So there was a starting point to the people of Egypt. That's what you call the foundation. It's the beginning of a nation, if you will. You understand that? Number two, buildings, that is physical buildings, like you and I right now are in a structure, we're in a building. The building has foundation. 1 Kings chapter 5, verse number 17. By the way, if you have your study book, we're just on the bottom of page 601. But 1 Kings chapter 5, the Bible says in verse number 17, "And the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, huge stones, to lay the foundation of the house." So every building right now, when you go to school, when you go to work in the mall, when you guys go to your local warehouse to get your route ready, every single building has a foundation. In mound days, they make it out of concrete, right? And obviously in different countries, they have different codes, if you will. But the bottom line is we understand that there's a base upon which everything else is built. You guys get the picture. All right, Psalm 102, the earth has foundation. Psalm 102, verse number 25, the earth has foundation. The Bible says, "Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands." How about that? And then one more, Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 21. The Bible says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth?" So far, Egypt as a nation had a foundation. That foundation refers to its beginning. David commanded stones to be brought to lay the foundation of the temple. To what would that foundation refer? The beginning of the building of the temple. Both the books of Psalms and Isaiah refer to the earth's foundation. To what would that foundation refer? Well, Isaiah 40:21, it refers to the beginning. If you guys saw that, the beginning. So apparently, the basic concept of a foundation, as we can see from the scripture, is a beginning or a starting place. That's why we let the Bible interpret itself. How about that? And that's an important concept for understanding the church's foundation or beginning. All right, my friends, let's go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now we're going to start moving into the foundation or the beginning of the church, the body of Christ, born-again believers, regardless if their first ethnic origin birth from Daddy Adam was a Jew, from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's stock, or if you're just a general son of Adam from whoever else you were born from, your forefathers, all the way back to Noah's boys, to Adam. We're going to see now the foundation of the New Testament church. Look with me now in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible says, start with me now reading at verse number, this is good. Let's go down here to verse number 5, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 5. "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" So here's the good news. Someone led you to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Someone gave you the gospel that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and he rose again from the dead. And someone told you that if you call upon God in faith and repentance, not trusting in your own works, not trusting in your own righteousness, and you knew that, yes, your life was obviously at odds with God, and you understood that's why Jesus died, because of evil in your heart and sin and all that. And however you responded to the conviction of that message, you ask the person, okay, well, then how do I be saved? And they may say, or they may told you, well, I want you to pray a prayer, right? And then they said, pray, repeat after me and just mean it with all your heart. Okay, however that happened, they were just ministers by whom you believed. But who was the focus of that prayer? Jesus Christ. So I want you to understand that we are fellow ministers of Jesus Christ. We are not the focus. We are not the foundation. when we go door knocking tomorrow, or when you try to share with someone at your workplace, we're not trying to present to them Jesus through just our narrow presentation. We're just trying to introduce them to the foundation, and then he'll do the rest and building the rest of their life. Amen. We're just a supplement. We're a helper, but Jesus is the one doing the building. Amen. So now listen, that's important, because sometimes Christians want to cling too much to the men of God versus the man, Jesus Christ. Anybody out there? All right, now verse number 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So that neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. See what Paul just said there? I'm nothing. Apollos, he ain't nothing. So don't worry. Don't worry. I know that some Christians seem more popular nowadays and some are not as popular. We're not really well known, if you will, and that's all right. I'm nothing. I'm just here to plant the seed of the foundation. I'm going to let God build the rest. Amen? Look at verse number 8. I'm sorry, verse number 9. For we, oh no, verse number 8, sorry. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are what? One. How are they one? Well, let's keep reading. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We'll get back to that. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another man buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So in a nutshell, what is he saying there? I gave you the gospel. I presented you the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Apollos, he came along into your life, and he helped build upon the gospel after you believed. He helped maybe to teach you about Jesus, maybe to instruct you in Christ's teachings, maybe to assist you, maybe to be an example to you now how to live the Christian life from living a life of idolatry or maybe a life of a pagan, if you will, back there in Corinth. But notice what he said, friend, back there in verse number 8, and this is very important if you can get this now. Because even though you have your Baptist distinctives about the translation you believe that you should use and the way you should dress and the way you should talk and all that stuff, that's all right. There's nothing wrong with your convictions. But I want you to see something very important in verse number 8. He that planteth and he that watereth are one. Apollos and Paul, they're on the same team. They're laboring for the same man, Jesus Christ. So I want you to understand that there are more Christians in this world laboring. They may not have your same church title. They may not dress like you. They may not use the same translation you use. But if they present to sinners the plan of salvation, that if they believe and trust that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again, they are laying the one true foundation which Christ himself laid. So what should you do? You should pray for that other brother. Pray for that other sister. So, for example, if tomorrow we go door knocking and we see Christians on the opposite street, we're not going to go and steal their tracks away from the doors. We're going to say, hey, y'all, hey, man, you guys are laboring too. Praise God. Look at verse number 9. We are what? Anybody got their Bible open? Laborers. So Brother Carlos has been telling you every other service about laboring, about working. And how do you do that? You go with your church, you take some tracks, obviously nowadays stuff, right? Back in the day, guys, they didn't really have gospel tracks, right? They had the scriptures and they went literally just vocally. That's kind of cool if you think about it. But nowadays, you have so many more tools. Brother Carlos made you guys a prayer card. Brother Carlos made you guys tracks for your church. And then you guys get some other tracks from other ministries to help your church. So what do? You go and you work and you labor. What does it say there? With God. Now, I understand that you can't see Jesus. I understand that we physically can't see him laboring. All I see is Sister Eileen with me or Sister Katie or Brother Joe. But the Bible says you're laboring with God. So now, think about it. If Jesus Christ lives in you, Colossians 1, he never leaves you nor forsakes you, Hebrews chapter 10, he goes with you. I hope that if you believe the scriptures this evening, that'll completely revolutionize and change your mind tonight. I hope that if you believe the Bible this evening, that will really, really begin to convict you and say, whoa, He is with me right now. And I'm not laboring with him. He wants me to labor with him. Wow, what an honor. God wants to use me? That's right. Every single one of you. God wants to use you to help him win the lost. Isn't that a blessing? But if another brother or sister from another church goes, you know what Paul said? We're one. I ain't nothing. Apollos ain't nothing. It's all about Jesus Christ. So let's pray for more laborers, not only from our own church, but man, God, if you can use other brethren too, praise the Lord, Brother Lordson. Man, Brother Corey in Africa. Man, the brethren up there, the brethren down there. Man, to God be the glory. So now, back here. The foundation, look at verse number 11. The Bible says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I don't want to divert too much from the message this evening concerning the truth of understanding the foundation of the New Testament church, which is Christ. We know that it's not Peter. It's not the Roman Catholic Church, unfortunately, with their ignorant history. It's the man, Christ Jesus. Now, what did the Holy Spirit tell you about? Look at verse number 10. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now, why do you need to be warned about how you build upon the gospel? Well, let's keep reading verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Let me ask you a question. Does wood burn easily, Brother Giovanni? Yes, it does. What about the metal, though? Does the metal burn as easily as the wood in that little stove? No. So if you look at that carefully in verse number 12, the first three objects about that are correlated with a man's building are three materials that won't burn. You got the gold, silver, precious stones. And then the other three objects, you have wood, hay, stubble. They burn. Now look at why is it important. Look at verse 13 in your Bible. Every man's work shall be made manifest. What does that word manifest mean? Who has their cool dictionary Bible with them? Anybody? Manifest. What does it mean? Who has their little dictionary that I gave you guys? Anybody out there? There you go, brother. Give me, yeah. Come on, brother. What does it say? What is manifest? What is manifest? Anybody? Let's make this interactive. Amen. Y'all already know. We're here together. Amen. What is manifest? It just simply means it's going to be made evident. It's going to be made visible. It's going to be seen. So now listen, verse number 13. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So one day, here's what your Bible just told you. Katie, Gibby, Eileen, Giovanni, Brother Carlos, every single one of our individual labor as a Christian will be tried with fire. And the fire is going to determine, and it's going to be made visibly before us, of what sort it was. What type of work was it? Was it the type of work that was gold, silver, precious stones? Or was it wood, hay, stubble? Look at 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So you're not going to lose your salvation. You know that by now. But you know what you could lose? You could lose rewards because you weren't as faithful. Your heart wasn't as sincere. You may have put that track, but your heart wasn't there. So now check that out. You can come to church. You can dress the part with all your convictions, amen? But what sort of heart do you have when you come to church? What sort of heart are you going to have tomorrow? Do you really want to be there? Do you really care for people? Are you stirred with compassion to just want to do something for the Lord? All right, that's free. Now, concerning the beginning of the church, obviously John the Baptist is not the foundation of the church. Let me repeat that. John the Baptist is not the foundation of the church. Now, none of you guys have to deal with this. Brother Carlos does. I'm the pastor. All other Baptist churches are going to call me or want to reach out to me, blah, blah, blah. Fundamentalists, if you can trace your lineage all the way back to John the Baptist. Now, that's a silly tradition, but they're out there. They're kind of unique. I'll say weird, but unique, okay? Because y'all already know we're trying to be as charitable as we can. But some of those fundamental Baptist guys, they want to get all crazy with and say, we go all the way back to John the Baptist. Amen. That's just not true. This is because John was not the starting place of the church. Additionally, Jesus Christ is the foundation. Why? Because your Bible just told you in 1 Corinthians 3. How about that? All right, so point one, the church is not a continuation of Old Testament Israel. Now, why is that important? I'll just tell you why. Because you and I are a part of the spiritual body of Christ. We are a part of the spiritual kingdom of God. And for those of you who remember from our studies ago, the difference between the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven, one is physical and the other is spiritual. Let's say that one more time. Kingdom of God, one is spiritual. Kingdom of heaven, one is physical. So you and I are made a part of the spiritual kingdom of God that dwells right in here. And then we're going to be made part of it up there in Jerusalem. You can read that in Galatians. We're going to be a part of this beautiful new building that Jesus is going to build, or it's already built. I don't quite understand, so just don't ask me about the new Jerusalem and all the stones you can read about in Revelation. But guys, that's going to be your dwelling place. Israel, however, they have physical promises, physical connections with the earth, and all their promises are mainly dealing with the land that God promised them right over there that you see about over there in the Middle East that people are fighting over. So it's important for you to understand how to rightly divide that the New Testament church is not a continuation of Old Testament Israel. Point number two, page 602. The church is not the continuation of the Old Testament covenant. Now that's very important that you understand the difference between the covenants. We are underneath the New Testament because it began when Christ died on the cross. We are not continuing off of Abraham's covenant concerning the land. We are, however, called sons of Abraham because just like Abraham put his faith in God, Genesis 15 verse 6 tells us that God declared righteous. You can read that. And then Galatians tells us that Abraham is like our father spiritually because we too are justified by faith. There you have it. All right, point three. The church is not a replacement for a failed Old Testament program. That's very important. We are not what is called replacement theological believers that the church replaced Israel because, you know, they were really bad and you know, very wicked sinners with their abominations and idolatry. And the church is never going to sin like that, right? Christians don't sin. They don't fornicate. They don't have idols. You know, Christians are so holy to keep the covenant of God in Christ. Anybody out there? That's a silly, silly, ignorant theology. But guys, people believe that. People believe that. Number four, the church did not start with John the Baptist or John the Methodist or John the Presbyterian. Yeah, of course not. All right. The church started with Jesus Christ. Anybody out there? Amen. The church is an entirely new thing. Let me repeat that. The church is an entirely new thing. The church is not a carryover from something before it. It is not an improvement of something already in existence. The church is not a nation of anything God had before done. The church started with Jesus Christ as its foundation. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter number 16. Some of you guys have heard this perhaps already on, you know, on your free will, watching different teachers, and they may have already made reference to this back there in Matthew 16. And this is important for you to understand. Many of you don't necessarily debate Roman Catholics like Brother Carlos does out there in the street, so you're not really going to encounter this unless you meet, you know, hardcore fundamental Catholics like I do when we go downtown so many. But when you guys do go out there with me in the public square and house to house, huh, Katie, because we had those Mexicanos, right? They're really nice, though. They just have an ignorant understanding concerning who built the church, its foundations. All right, let's read that together, Matthew chapter 16. Here we have in verse number 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Popcorn Katie. Matthew 16:14, Giovanni. Please, verse number 14, please. Matthew 16:14, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead and popcorn, brother. Gibby, verse 15. Matthew 16, verse 15. Go ahead. All right, go ahead and popcorn, Gibby. Go ahead. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, this is Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, talking to Peter, a regular human man, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So real quick, I don't mean to belabor this because I'm not here to just spend all the time teaching you guys what's going on and wrong with the Roman Catholic Church. I want to focus more with teaching you the truth of the Bible, because the more truth you understand, you will literally find it easy to find what's wrong with religion. So the more that I can teach you truth, you should be able to quickly pick up, hey, that doesn't sound right because My Bible says, but real fast, here's what they say in a nutshell. The Roman Catholic Church was founded by the Apostle Peter because Jesus gave him some supernatural role in which he would begin this thing called the church. But as you guys can read very carefully with me in your Bible, look at what he said. Verse 18, Jesus said unto Peter, upon this rock, what rock? Verse 17. The confession, verse number 16, that the Father gave him a supernatural unction to declare before the disciples. The church is built upon the confession that Jesus is the Messiah and that he is the Son of the living God. And look at what he said in verse number 18, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So now, if you think about Matthew 6, 18, this is not in your notes, but I'm sorry. Yeah, Matthew 16, 16, and then verse number 18. 1 Corinthians 3, what did Paul say? We are fellow laborers with who? God. But Jesus said, I will build my church. So who's God? Jesus. You are laboring with the one who said he'll build his church. That's why every single one of you guys have a duty, have a job, have a work right now, because your Savior, your Master, he enlisted you now to help him build his church. All right, Brother Joe. Oh, that's good, Brother Joe. Amen. That's good. All right, guys. Brother Joe, Sunday school. Amen. All right, there you go. How about that? So to Brother Giovanni, for those of you guys who are online or our podcast, he just made a great comment about John 21, where the Lord restored Peter, right? Dost thou love me? Dost thou love me? Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. You know all things. And Jesus told Peter, you feed my sheep. You feed my lambs. So, man, Brother Joe, you just pumped me up real quick, man. I already got the post-workout dying down, but you just pumped me up. Let's go to two places real quick. Two places. Acts 20. Verse 28 and 1 Peter 5. I shared this with Brother Mann on our fellowship. We had a great bonding. Acts chapter 20, and then we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Acts 20. Look with me now in verse number 28. Acts 20, verse number 20. If you are there, say palanca. All right. Look at what the Bible says now, friend. Here is the Apostle Paul talking to the church leaders from Ephesus. And right before he leaves and he says goodbye, he says here in verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So, scripture with scripture, 1 Corinthians 3, the church is founded upon one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is founded upon a confession, Matthew 16, 16, that he is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. And then we know, obviously, other scriptures that he's the Son of God who died for our sins, was buried and rose again. We know that. So the church is built upon the confession of the profession of Jesus of Nazareth. So now, with those scriptures, the Holy Spirit said that he's God, Acts 20:28. And he purchased the church with his own blood. And every Christian leader or someone who receives authority by Jesus to assist, like Brother Giovanni said, in the feeding of the sheep and the feeding of the lambs, the Bible tells us as pastors or ministers or some position of leader, doesn't matter what church, Holy Spirit said, you better take heed how you feed the flock. Now, where did you hear about that, take heed? 1 Corinthians 3. What did Paul say? Take heed. Take heed how you build. Let every man take heed how he builds upon that. All right, one more, 1 Peter chapter 5. You say, can you give me an example of what that means, Brother Carlos, taking heed? Man, I need to do my best to be a good friend to Brother Giovanni. I need to do my best to be a good friend to Sister Eileen. I need to do my best to be faithful to teach Gibby how to be a good boy to his mother and his father. I need to do my best to be a great, loving, pure husband to my wife, Sister Katie. I need to be faithful to the scriptures and teaching, preaching. I need to make sure that I believe the word of God is the word of God. I'm not going to be correcting it. I'm not going to be trying to cast doubt. And I should not be living as a hypocrite. That's how you take heed when you're feeding the flock. All right, one more on this real quick. 1 Peter 5, look with me in verse number 1. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. The Bible says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, not as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So what does the Holy Spirit tell Christian leaders in positions where they have authority over the flock? You better remember who's the head of that church. You know who the head of this church is? Jesus Christ. I am a under-shepherd of the shepherd. And I am called to lead you guys and to love you guys and to instruct you and to train you and to disciple you willingly, not by force, not by constraint. And if you guys are following with me in verse number 2, look at what it says, not for filthy lucre. Anybody, you can ask Brother Colmay and Brother Taz, the people that helped me start our church. I laid the financial foundation to get this thing going. My wife and I have invested our money to get the ministry going to make sure we get all the paperwork, get all those things that, you know, Caesar needs to make sure all that works well and all the taxes, blah, blah, blah. And then whenever I bought all these Bibles and these materials and these books and all of the equipment that we need, you know why I did that? I did it willingly because I want to be an example to you that no amount of money should hinder you from wanting to invest into people's lives. Your time should be considered the benefit for someone else's growth. So my wife and I, we've literally restructured our entire life so we could be an example to you. Now that's our calling. And I'm glad. If Brother Carlos said, all right, guys, that's it. I'm going to go back to college. I'm going to get my degree. I'm going to get that fancy house. I'm going to get all the materials. I'm just going to live off the 401k and all the stocks. I'm going to have a good earthly life. I know too much, though. I know too much Bible. I know that ain't going to last. I know it's going to burn. I know how it lasts for eternal life to come. And that's my labor for who? Jesus Christ. So tonight, friend, look at what it tells you in 1 Peter 5. And verse number, neither as being lords over God's heritage. And you guys know my heart. You know your pastor. I'm your friend. I'm not here with a dominant spirit over you. I'm not a fundamentalist that wants to control everything about you, condemn you if you're not dressing right all the time, condemn you if you're not soul winning all the time. I'm not here to lord over you like the Gentiles at your work. You know how they tell you, hey, get off your phone, get back to work. Hey, what are you doing? You didn't do this on time. I'm not a Gentile benefactor over you. I'm a servant. I will keep teaching you, though, sister and brother, what you ought to be doing. I will keep telling you. I will keep, if you will, suffering along with you with doctrine and provoke. But I'm not here to dominate you. There's someone whose position that is, and who's that? Jesus Christ. How many of you guys believe that he is your Savior? Raise your hand. But I have one quick question. How many... Okay, you guys raise your hand. You said he's your Savior, right? If Jesus is your Savior, he saved your soul when you asked him to save you. How do I want to phrase this question? Okay. You guys got saved by trusting the gospel, right? Yes? Okay. He's your Savior, correct? But is he your Lord? What do you mean, Brother Carlos? Go to Luke chapter number 6 quickly. Luke 6. Is he your Lord? Watch this. Luke 6. It's good. It's one of my favorite verses. Look it with me now in Luke 6. Verse number 46. I'm going to go ahead and popcorn Sister Eileen. Luke 6, verse number 46. Take your time. It's all right. Matthew, Mark, Luke, New Testament. Luke 6, 46. So real quick, you guys raised your hand. You said, Brother Carlos, I believe Jesus is my Savior because I asked him to save me. All right, you trust the gospel. But is that same Savior your Lord? Do you let him command your life now? Do you let him lead your life? Is he the master of your life? Do you let Jesus have the authority over you? You let him save you. You're no longer on your way to hell now, y'all. You know that you're saved by grace through faith. You know your works don't save you. To your Lord, do you bow the knee? Do you submit to him every day and say, Lord Jesus, not my will, but thy will? Do you guys do that? I just want you to think about it. Back to 1 Peter 5. We're almost done. Why is it important, Brother Carlos? Do you know why my wife and I do the things we do for you guys in our church? And it's because he's our Lord. We want to let him to tell us what to do, when to do it, how to do it. Look it back there, 1 Peter 5. Now you can hold Brother Carlos accountable to these scriptures. Look at what it says. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being ensembles of the flock. Who is your Lord? Anybody? Jesus, he's your Lord. I am just your pastor. I am your overseer. I'm just here to feed you your Lord's food. I'm just here to instruct you on your Lord's command. I'm just here to assist you in laboring for your Lord because he's my Lord too. But in his church, he gave different sheep, different roles, different gifts, but we're all before the same Lord. That's good. So who's the foundation? Jesus Christ. It's built upon what? The profession of who he said he was, the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel. And whosoever believes in him, that he died for their sins and rose again from the dead, they are added to his body called the church. Almost done. Look at page 603. A couple more minutes. In the Old Testament, Christ was prophesied as a stone refused by builders. That's the nation of Israel when you read that. The Old Testament shows that the rock was manifest to Israel in the context of the Davidic kingdom with veiled prophetic references to Daniel's 70th week. You can read that in Daniel 2. Whenever you guys read that in books about the Davidic kingdom, that's just a reference to King David and his reign, and hence the promises that God made him about a man never failing to sit on the throne of his seat there in Jerusalem. Now, these references most assuredly look forward to the rejected stone and are fulfilled in the New Testament and are directly associated to Christ's rejection. Let's look at a couple of these. I'll just name them for the online crowd. Mark 12, verse 10, Luke 20, 17 through 18, and Acts 4, 11. Let's go to Matthew 21. just to get an example of what the authors are telling us, that the Old Testament prophesied of that rock. That rock which Israel, unfortunately, the national heads, the chief princes, the pastors of the people, they unfortunately would reject, right? Real sad. Matthew 21, look at verse number 42. The Bible says here in Matthew 21, verse number 42, Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So, Paul later declared Christ as the foundation. We already read that, 1 Corinthians 3. And he is the chief cornerstone of the body consisting of Jews and Gentiles. I read that earlier for you guys in Ephesians 2:20. These truths all point to Christ's crucifixion as the time of the initial construction. A crucifixion announced in the context of the initial proclamation back there of Matthew 16, 21 through 23. Concerning the church and its construction, Christ simply prophesied of events that were yet future and not something presently being fulfilled. We need to have a Bible reason for any doctrinal position we proclaim. Since Jesus Christ is the foundation, and we know that a foundation serves as a beginning, Jesus Christ himself is the beginning of the church. Hallelujah. So, some might wince at this thought, since Jesus Christ always existed. It is important to note that the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost are eternal. You guys know that, 1 John 5:7. The Word was made flesh. He dwelt among us. And they called his name, that is, when the Word was made flesh, Jesus. You guys know this. I already gave you a study. Brother Ed also helped us out on that. The Word is the Son who was manifest in the flesh, and God manifest in the flesh was called Jesus Christ. Last page, 604. Christ, he is the foundation of the church. The church does not begin with the Word Creator. Instead, it begins with the Word made flesh, who died upon a cross and rose again. That's really good right there. The head of the church is not the Son of God, although the person who is the head of the church is the Son of God. The head of the church is the man Christ Jesus. So those are just some unique terms. Obviously, we know that his person between the in the Godhead is the Son of God. Therefore, Christians who are not completed Jews or Hebrew Christians, we are a new thing, a brand new thing that started with Jesus Christ. Now consider how the church's foundation differs from the foundations that preceded it. All right, friend, let me just leave you with this last verse. Turn with me now to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and then we'll close with any closing comments or questions that anyone might have this evening. We'll call it a night. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, it's all about Jesus. Amen. Praise God for the Son of God. Amen. And that's what I like about our neighbors next door. I like when they get excited. They say, we thank God for Jesus. Amen. That's a blessing. Amen. All right. Colossians chapter 1, and let's close with these last verses. We'll just quickly read together, starting in verse number 2. The Bible says here in Colossians, I'm sorry, not verse 2, verse number 12. Colossians chapter 1, are you guys there? All right, verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. By the way, that's another message, and let me just quickly plug this in there. That's why we did not have a predetermined, pre-existed decision concerning salvation, like the Reformers or Calvinists or those folks, unfortunately, ignorantly interpret. Notice how the Bible says, God the Father made us meet to be partakers. In other words, there had to have been a translation, a conversion, and then once you're converted, you're translated into this thing that is now existent that wasn't before. That's good. Look at verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his, even the forgiveness of, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He is the highest exalted, if you will, one currently right now in all of God's creation. God the Son is the highest to be regarded, to have the preeminence, to have all the superiority. For by him, the Bible says, were all things created. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, created all things that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So Jesus created Lucifer. Jesus created those angels that rebelled who are now called devils. Jesus created the cherubim, the seraphim. Jesus created all that. That's why Jesus, he's going to win in the end of the day. And now look at verse number 17. He is before all things. By him all things consist. And here it is, guys, last verse. And he is the head of the what? Who's reading their Bible with me? Let's read that one more time. He is the head of the? Nope. Y'all ain't reading. Verse 18. I like how Arlene's trying, amen. She's trying, amen. She's like, Sister Katie knows. Let me just. Verse 18. No, no. Hey, Gibby, one more time. All right. He is the head of the body. Now, Sister Eileen. All right. The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So now let me just leave you guys with this. Here's the good news. Here's the good news. See, it's good being a Bible believer. It's good that you're reading your own Bible because now you're learning the truth of your faith. This is why, unfortunately, our friends, the Catholics out there, that's why they're ignorant concerning their theology and their study, because guys, they're not being taught the Bible, and they're not being provoked to read their scripture. The Pope is not the head of the church. The Mormons, their little apostolic council in Utah, they're not the head of the church. Jehovah's Witnesses with their elder board somewhere in New York or wherever they're at now, they're not the head of the church. And all these different cults, Iglesia Ni Cristo from the Philippines, they're not the head of the church. All these, you know, different little sects, they think a man or some group of men are the heads of their assembly. But you, Bible believer, your head of this assembly at Simple Faith Baptist, that's just our cool little title, all right? He's up there, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in charge. So then how does he delegate us this evening? Anybody? Right here. Word of God. That's how you can keep me in accountability with you, because Brother Carlos, the only position I have is just the pastor title, the overseer. But guys, you can talk to the boss anytime. Amen. Y'all have complaints? Hey, Lord, you know, Brother Carlos, y'all go with him. Amen. But look right here. We all got the Bible. That's why we, as Bible believers, we believe in the priesthood of all believers. You guys are all fellow priests of God. You guys have the ability to open up that Bible and say, hey, Brother Carlos, hey, I heard you teach this, but you know, what does it say here? Guys, that's awesome, because Jesus is the head of this church. We're going to continue to build off the foundation of the scriptures, the apostles. Remember, that they already said that. And it is our duty together now to hold each other to our Lord's commands. Amen? All right, friend. Who is the foundation for the New Testament church? When did it begin? Yes, Brother Giovanni. Come on, man. Come on now, brother. All right. What profession? On what profession or what confession do men have to believe in order to be made a part of that body? What do you have to believe, or what do you have to respond to? What about it? What about him? Keep going. Okay, keep going. That's right. Now, do you believe that? Okay. So now, since you believe that, right, that's salvation. And baptism, that's why you're going to get baptized. Because just like Christ died, you're going into the water, you're identifying yourself dying in Christ. And then when you come out of the water, it's a symbol of your resurrection in Christ. Old man, new man, real quick nugget. So that's the foundation. That's the profession, and that's the head of our assembly. Anybody have any comments or questions or prayer requests before we leave tonight? Anybody? Comments, questions, or prayer requests? Katie? Amen. So we will pray for Katie's principal, that's her boss, for her daughter. We'll just leave it at that. Respect the details. We'll keep her in prayer. Anybody else? Comments, questions, or prayer requests before we close? Anybody? Go ahead, Gibby. Amen. His finger. Hey, Gibby, which finger? The left hand? Does the right hand feel okay, though? So you can put tracks in this hand tomorrow, right? All right, good to go. Anybody else? We'll pray for his finger. Hopefully it'll get better. Anybody else? Questions, comments, prayer requests before we close. Anybody else? Going once. Going twice. All right, guys, let's go ahead and pray together, and we're going to pray for those needs. And then, again, guys, love you guys. Thank you guys for coming in out tonight. And then let's pray for those who weren't able to make it tonight, man. All right. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for allowing us to come together once again, God, on a Friday night. Lord, even on a rainy night, God, I am so happy, Lord, and really just encouraged to see the saints, God. I know that some of them could have stayed home. I know some of them wanted to stay home, God, but they came. Lord, it sure blessed me, Lord. I pray that that their fellowship, Lord, bless your heart too. Father, we just want to pray now for my wife's boss's daughter, Lord. You know the details, God. Our church knows the details. We don't need to let the whole world know online. But Father, we just pray for that daughter's salvation, God. And we pray that she can find peace, satisfaction for her soul in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the life giver, Lord, versus the things, God, that she is seeking for satisfaction in her life. Lord, I pray that you use the circumstance now to put a Christian in her life. We pray for a Christian to be there where she's at, maybe to give him a gospel track. Lord, we learned tonight, God, that we're all one. We're all on the same team, God. Any born-again Christian, we're all on the same team, God. We know you can use other Christians to minister to her as well, Father. So we just pray that you put a witness in her path to lead her to saving faith in Jesus Christ, Father. Lord, we thank you for Gibby. Pray for healing for his hand, God. Would you please help him to feel better soon, Lord? And I thank you for Sister Eileen, Brother Giovanni, God. We pray for Sister Kina, Lord. Pray for her health. Hope she's doing well. We pray for all of their family members and their siblings, God, for salvation and also spiritual growth, God, for all those that we don't see here this evening, God, our fellow members. We pray for them all this evening, God, that you're going to be with them, their spirit, their family. And Lord, I pray that you'd help them to read their Bible, pray, and then just continue, Lord, to put their flesh in subjection to work for your son, Jesus Christ, Father. What a privilege to know that Brother Giovanni, Sister Eileen, Brother Gibby, my wife and I, what a privilege to learn tonight, God, that we can work with you, we can labor with you, God. We can help you, God, in reaching the lost. God, what a huge honor and blessing that is, God. And so, Lord, help us do that tomorrow, Lord. If you let us wake up, help us excited, ready to go. We pray for a good time, Father. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, we love you. God bless you guys. Thank you for coming. Please drive safe. Amen. Bless you.